things. Well, so glad that you're with us today and that you came to worship. If this was something that you've never seen or experienced before and you're just like, whoa, these people are a little turned up. Yes, we are, because we serve a risen Savior. You know, why go to church and just worship God like he's still dead? We worship him because he's alive and he's back from the grave and he's restoring things. And so we believe in that. And that's why we say that Jesus is the hope of every life and why we get excited for these things. If I've never met you before, my name is Chris Massey. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are a first-time guest, we just want to say welcome to you. Thank you so much for being here today and for being a part of what God wants to do. Can I just confess to you, when I was a teenager, my church went like through a revival where God's Spirit would move on Sunday mornings. And as a teenager, I was like, man, if the worship service goes long and there's like an altar time, maybe the pastor won't preach. And now I'm in like the other part of that. Like I'm here, you know, so keep preaching. Okay, so I just wanted to clarify that for everybody. We're going to preach today. But excited for what God wants to finish up in this series that we've been in the fivefold ministry. For the sake of time, I will try to be a little more expedient going through this process. But we need to finish this. We need to finish what God started in this, because we've been focused on this fivefold ministry because it's a gift that God wants to give to the church. It's a blessing that he wants to give to the church. And quite frankly, we're not seeing it function, the church as a whole, the way that it should, because we've let some of the weirdos take away what God wanted to do in the first place. But can I tell you, we can take it back from the weirdos. Is that okay if we do that? Like, let's let the real things that God wants to do come back into our midst and be a blessing to the world around us again. And so we started this in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll put that up on the screen. I'm going to give our screen person a heads up. My iPad has decided it is not wanting to play today, so I'll just need you to put up everything for me. But I know I can trust you. How about a round of applause for those who run our media up there? They do a fantastic job. And let's be honest, the only time you realize they're up there is when something goes wrong. It's just like, whoa, what's that word? That's not what we're singing. But thank you so much. But here it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility, and we've been using that word, is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue until we all, can you say all? Till we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, we started talking about this in the very beginning. We have a couple of different complaints in this department. First of all, I've already mentioned, the weirdos made it weird, and we're not sure how we feel about this whole apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher thing. Down the list, we're okay. Pastors and teachers, sign me up. Evangelist, prophets, apostles, like it gets scarier the higher up the list we go, right? And I want to give credence to that. That's a reality, and it's not because of what God gave us, but because of how we as humans messed it up, all right? But we can take it back. But then the other part of this is that what it says, it needs to continue. A lot of people want to argue, well, it stopped because that was only necessary for the early church's formation, and after the church was formed, well, we didn't need that anymore. But here's what it says in Ephesians. This will continue until all of us have become mature. I don't know about you, and I'm not just talking about the people in this room. I don't think we're there yet, right? Are we all mature in what God wants us to be and to do yet? Then we still need these gifts and these graces that God has given to us. And so we have the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And here's what they represent, okay? God says that the church needs some things from me. They need a delegate to represent my presence. They need my voice so they can hear from me. They need my passion to go into the world and reach the lost. They need my heart to care for them and show concern. And they need my wisdom so that they can be taught. Because right after this in Ephesians, we didn't read it this week, but here's what it says, that God says, I've got to protect my church because the time is coming, and let's say we live there, where people will disguise lies in such a way as to make them sound like truth. And it causes us to question, well, what is true? What does the Bible say? And that's why we so desperately need these people. God has given them a grace to do this. God has given each of them to fulfill this responsibility that protects the people of his church. So we're going to look at pastors today, okay? What is a pastor? Why do we need pastors, okay? A pastor is God's heart, all right? His heart for the church. They are given the grace to care for the needs of those in the church. Now, I want to stop right here because there's something we need to discuss really quickly. I know that in our church we have five pastors. So there's a temptation to be like, we're all good in this area, right? We don't need any more pastors. Pastor Mike is away on sabbatical. Can I tell you, we need more pastors? Holy cow. It's only been a week. This is not about vocational ministry. And this is not what we want to talk about. I think Pastor Matt alluded to this last week in his message. There are parts of these gifts that God has given, and I think really only the apostolic is the one that maybe that's not for everybody, but there is a ministry that God gives to individuals to be prophetic, evangelistic, pastors, and teachers. But there are also practical gifts that God has given every single one of us. Like, what would the church look like if the only people who evangelize were evangelists? If the only people telling others about Jesus were evangelists, or what would it look like if the only people ever teaching about Jesus were, you know, educated teachers with degrees or whatever that looks like, or pastors? We all have a role that we can play in doing these things, and that's really what I want to speak to as we wrap up this series, as we look at especially this pastoral idea. But the word pastor, actually in the original language, is just the word shepherd. That's all it is. It literally is the same word as like for a guy who takes care of some sheep out in the field. It's a shepherd. And it's not just used in Scripture, but there are other places in old writings that we see. Homer's Iliad uses the same word to talk about leaders. But that's the part of this that we need to understand, because pastors and shepherds do three things, okay? They lead, they feed, and they protect. All right, and this is important. We're going to go to Psalm 23 in just a second here, but this is so important because we're going to read what King David said, and I want you to know this. Before King David was a king, before he was knocking down giants, he was a shepherd boy, all right? And he's a shepherd boy out in a field, and I just love to picture this. How many of you have animals at home? All right. You know, can I tell you, maybe you don't feel this way, but I do. There are times I come in and especially see my cat laying on my couch, curled up into a ball, living his best life. And I'm like, what the heck? Must be nice. Like, you just like living your best life here. And oh, you know, if he gets hungry, he just calls on his servants. Meow. Oh, no, I didn't want food. I'm actually thirsty. Meow. Or you know what, I've decided I would like my head scratched, so I'm going to jump on your lap and irritate you until you do that. Like, this dude's living, I got a cat, his name is Thomas, he is living his best life, all right? And sometimes I look at that and I'm just irritated, but here's the thing, he sleeps peacefully and restfully because I go to work every day and feed him. Kind of like my kid, we won't go there. But I picture David in this same spot. He's sitting out in a field and he's watching over his sheep. And just sees them, they're resting, and they don't feel in danger, they're not in any danger, they have food to eat, they've got water to drink, and they're just lounging around and laying peacefully and resting. And David has this aha moment. This is exactly how God takes care of his people. This is just how he does. I want to read this for you in Psalm 23, verses 1 through 4. David writes this. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Can we just pause there for a second? You know, we're really tempted sometimes to think that there's a long list of things that we're lacking. But God is my shepherd, and I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, some translations call that the valley of the shadow of death, right? We're talking bad situation where you should feel terrified. He says, even if I were to go through that, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Look at this picture of what David says about God being a good shepherd. He says, God is a good shepherd. You know, I'm out here trying to take care of these few sheep and just trying to keep them safe and make sure they're fed and watered, make sure nobody's coming in to attack them, and they are living their best lives out here right now. But God does this for me. And look at the things that he says throughout these verses here as to what God does as a good shepherd, right? He says, first of all, he cares for my needs. He keeps me safe from harm. He provides for my rest and my strength. He won't harm his name or mine. He won't leave me when I'm in danger, and he'll protect me from an attack. All these things that David just speaks to, he's like, look at this good shepherd. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because God has called you to lead in some capacity, to shepherd in some capacity. If you are a parent, all right, you have kids, God has anointed you to shepherd your children, right? And let's be honest, they're probably worse than sheep some days, right? Because as a parent, your job is like, I'm just trying to keep you alive. And your kid's just like, no, you're not. Like, you are fighting against them to keep them alive. Like, it makes perfect sense in their ideas. I'm just going to go run out in the parking lot barefoot and just run in front of cars. And we're like, Meredith, get back in here. I get like messages from the security team. They're like, we've got a runner. We've got a runner. We've got a runner. Oh, that's just the pastor's daughter. We're good. We're not good. You know, there's covenantal aspects that God speaks to all through Scripture, and you read it anytime you see these words, if you, then I. That's covenantal relationship that God uses all through Scripture. And one of the things that he speaks to in this idea of being a good shepherd is, if you let me lead you, if you let me be your shepherd, if you let me care for you, then there's a whole host of things that are going to happen for you. But here's the reality, just like our kids who sometimes do these things, and I want you to think about this for just a second. This was kind of an aha moment for me even this morning. Think about every bad thing that either happened to you as a child or your children now, all stems from this one thing. They didn't obey what you told them to do. Right? Isn't that what happens to our kids or us, right? When something bad happens to us, it's all because we didn't obey. And the same is true of our relationship with God. God is a good shepherd, but there is a covenantal aspect to this. God, lead me. God, direct me. God, provide my peace and my rest and my comfort, my strength. Provide me with these things. I lean into you for them, and I'm not going to try to get them for myself. And as we do that, God pours out all of these blessings on us. But the second that we walk outside of that, the second we're like, God's like, okay, I'm leading over here, and you're like, I'm going to go over here. The second we do that, we open ourselves up to experience things that God never intended for us, and brokenness, hurt, pain that he would love to shield us from if only we would first submit to him and to his leadership. Jesus expounds upon this in the book of John. And in the book of John, there are seven times where Jesus uses these phrases called I am. And I don't want us to think of it as like the way that we use the words I am, because we're like, I am hungry, or I am happy to be here, or I am tired. Some of you are falling asleep right now. I love you. Here's what it is. It's actually a reference to the Old Testament where Moses encountered God at a burning bush. And Moses is there, and he doesn't know who God is, and God's talking to him, and he says, go free my people. And Moses is like, well, who should I tell them sent me? And God, he goes, what's your name? And God says, I am. And he's like, basically, that's God's way of saying, like, what do you mean, what's my name? I'm God. Like, I know you got all these other things that you guys are acting like are gods, but I'm actually God. I am. And so Jesus uses a term in Greek, which is ego eimi, which is I am that I am. Okay? So he's saying, I am God, and I am the good shepherd. And so I want to read this for you in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money, and he doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, right? This ego in me, I am that I am. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I sacrifice my life for the sheep. And here's the truth. Shepherds sacrifice. A good shepherd sacrifices. Listen, your parents, you have to lead your kids. Don't you know you have to sacrifice for your kids? Right? If parenting was easy, everybody would do it. I don't know how this keeps happening. We just end up as parents. If we knew the cost, we would run. Like God gives you this cute little baby and you're like, this is going to be great. Isn't this going to be great? We're going to be such good parents. Moving on. It's sacrificial. God's calling us to this in many different arenas. And when you're called to shepherd, whatever that looks like, you know, there are people who are called to shepherd by leading kids in kids ministry, leading youth in youth ministry, by shepherding people in women's ministry, in men's ministry, in outreach ministry, in van ministry, like we talked about before. Listen, every one of these aspects is pastoral ministry. You are being a pastor to different individuals. You're loving on them. Okay, you didn't go to Bible school. You didn't stand in front of somebody who, you know, they said, you are now officially a pastor. But God says you are. God says you are. You have been given the grace, praise the Lord, but also the responsibility. They go hand in hand. God says, but if you're going to do this, there's sacrifice for it. And listen, some of those sacrifices, they can be difficult. And it's important for us to understand the difference in those difficulties. It can be hurt at times to sacrifice for what God wants us to do. I've told this story before, and if you've heard it, I'm sorry, but it's one that just sticks out in my mind about sacrifice as a pastor. But when I was early in my years in ministry, I was a youth pastor and worship pastor at a church that was over an hour away from where my wife and I lived. We had just gotten married, our first year of marriage, and we had to get up literally like 6 a.m, jump in the car, drive over an hour away to be at worship practice and minister all day. It was like, there were days. You ever have one of those days? Right? I know you're like, well, pastors, they love Sunday, every Sunday. Moving on. Well, Jess and I are driving down the road, and I can picture it exactly where we were on the highway, and I was just frustrated. I was having one of those days, and I said to Jess, I was like, how can this be what God wants us to do? Would God really want us to have to sacrifice like this every single Sunday, get up early, drive all this distance to do ministry? Does that really make any sense? And Jess said something so great, and I loved her so much in this moment. She said, you know what? You're right. That was the last time she said it. Oh. First year of marriage, right? Now, I want to paint a picture for you because not all of you know Jess and I's story. Jess and I got married when Jess was 18 and I was 21. Okay, so Jess is 18 and I'm 21 at this point when this happens. Jess says, you're right. And I'm just like, praise Jesus, I got me a godly woman. You're right. The God who allowed himself to be beaten and pierced and hung on a cross to take the sin of the world and die for you is probably asking an awful lot to make you drive an hour. I've never seen a car that has a window you can roll up between the two seats. I wanted one. I'm just like, Don't even have a wife. She was right. She was right. What could I ever sacrifice that comes close to what Jesus sacrificed for me? What could you ever sacrifice that comes close to what Jesus sacrificed for you? Even if part of your story is to be a martyr for the sake of the gospel and to literally die for the sake of the gospel, if it was part, you didn't do it sinlessly, you didn't do it perfectly, you didn't do it for those who didn't deserve. I mean, there's just nothing that we could ever do that compares. And listen, a good shepherd has to sacrifice. Yes, being in kids ministry is a sacrifice. Being in youth ministry is a sacrifice. Being a greeter is a sacrifice. Being a part of an outreach is a sacrifice. Doing men's ministry, women's ministry, these are sacrifices. Outreaches are sacrifices. Van ministry is a sacrifice. It is. I know that it is. But the reality of the truth is that God's worthy of it because he made a sacrifice that none of us can ever come close to matching. And he says, I'm calling you to be these kind of shepherds. I'm calling you to be these kind of leaders. I'm calling you to be these kind of lovers of lost people and a hurting world. I want to kind of bring this to a close and look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's a young pastor at this time. And he's giving him some instruction about these gifts that God has given to him. Okay? And he says this to him with full understanding of how God has got a call in his life. He says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the task so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. He says, you were given a gift, Timothy. Not to hide, but to use for God's glory. And I love this, the way he describes this. My wife and I, we don't do this a lot, but we'll like go to a pool. We are very different about the way we get into a pool, okay? Jess's way of getting into a pool is to walk up to the water's edge, stick her toe, just touch the water and be like, I'm not sure if this is acceptable. That's really cold. Then she might go over to like the steps. She'll go in like ankle deep, maybe back again, knee deep. And then for a while, just like, you've all done it. Here's how I get into a pool. Cannonball! And I just run and I jump. Because here's my thinking. You can do that whole long process of feeling the pain. And now it's in my feet. Now it's at my knees. Now it's... And some of you will get that later. You just get it done. You just jump in and you're done. And Paul says this to Timothy. He doesn't say tiptoe into what God wants you to do. Test the waters. See if it's okay. Give it a shot. Go on a trial basis. He says, no, throw yourself in. Throw yourself in. I have a calling for you. I have a ministry for you. I have a work for you. I've called you to shepherd and to lead. Don't tiptoe into that. Throw yourself into it because God gave you a gift. Embrace the gift. It was for you. It was for the church. It had a purpose behind it. And can I be honest with you? So often I see individuals who are like, I'll test the waters. I'll put my ankle in. Oh, that was just a little painful. I didn't like it. Or I went knee deep, or I went waist deep, and I just didn't like it. It just wasn't me. It wasn't my thing. There were some sacrifices. I just couldn't find the time. And you know what we do time and time again when the sacrifices come? The first one we're willing to make is ministry. Right? I got these other obligations that I'm into. I'm sorry, Pastor Tyler. I just can't do kids, or I can't do youth, or I can't do this. We back away from these things, but here's the reality. God gave you a gift. God gave you a grace to do something that nobody else can do. Listen, when I see Pastor Matt, especially now hanging out with teenagers, I'm like, man, God gave Pastor Matt a grace to love these teenagers because they're hard to love sometimes. I'm not speaking of any in particular, but some are. Kids ministry, whatever it is, and they're a part of it. And you just see this, wow, how do they do that? I don't feel like I could ever do that. That's true. There might be some things you couldn't do because God didn't give you a grace to do it, but he has given you a calling. Maybe it is to hear his voice. Maybe it is to tell the world about Jesus. Maybe it is to teach. Maybe it is to share the compassionate love of Jesus through the heart of a shepherd. Whatever it is, can I encourage you, just as Paul said to Timothy, throw yourself into it. Throw yourself into it. Listen, excuses are so easy to come by. It's not a good time. It's not a good season. It's scary. I don't know. What if I fail? What if they don't like me? There's no shortage of reasons. Paul says, throw yourself into it because I gave you a gift. You know, one of the things that scares me when I read in Scripture is the story that Jesus told about three servants who were left behind when a king went away on a journey. And he says he went to the first servant and he gave him some money, and he went to the second servant, he gave him a little less money, and he went to a third servant, he gave him just, you know, a very little amount of money. Says that the king goes away and he comes back and he goes to the first servant, and the first servant says, I took what you gave me and I doubled it. I want to give it back to you. And he presents the king with double what he started with. And the king's like, well done, you are a faithful servant. And he goes to the second one who had a little less and he says the same thing. Yeah, you didn't give me as much as you gave him, but I took what you did give me and I used it and I doubled it, and I want to give it back to you. And then he goes to the third servant, and the third servant says, well, you didn't give me much, so I just buried it because I didn't want to lose it. I wanted to make sure I had at least that to give back to you someday. And Jesus looks at this servant, I mean the king, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, the king looks at that servant and he says, you wicked, wicked servant. Cast him out. Take what I gave him and give it to somebody else, because he is not worthy. Get him out of my sight. And we're like, whoa, that sounds really, But Jesus says this about this story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Can I tell you, that grips me when I read that? He says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A king goes away and he tells the whole story. Why? Because you were given a gift and you were only given so much time to use it. You were given a grace that the community needs, that your family needs, that your church needs, that the kingdom of heaven needs. And we're watching around us as the church diminishes and less power, less powerful, and we're losing ground, and we're like, why? Because we're not taking what God gave us and throwing ourselves into it. We're tiptoeing. And I want to encourage you, God has a call on your life. He has a call on your life. And if you would give yourself completely into it, to that good shepherd, listen, believe me, I know it. God has led me in things before that I'm just like, God, are you even sure about this? Yeah, he knows what he's doing. God, that's going to be painful. That's going to be scary. Believe me, we've had these conversations. He knows what he's doing. Obey. Throw yourself fully into it. Say, okay, God, I know you gave me a gift, you gave me a grace, you gave me a responsibility, and I will embrace it and do it for your glory because I love you. That's what God calls us to. Will you pray with me? God, I am so grateful because I'm here today. Because there are individuals in my past who said yes. And I wouldn't be here if Ruth Ann hadn't taught my Sunday school class. If Ken hadn't been my youth pastor. They said yes, and it was hard, Lord. I made it hard for them. But they said yes because they loved you. I'm serving Jesus today because of their faithfulness. And I thank you for them. God, I pray your blessings over them. God, there are stories in the future that are hinging on our obedience, that are hinging on our call and our time and our gifts and our graces, our priorities. There are people years from now who may have the opportunity to stand up and bless our name because of our faithfulness, but to give all the glory to you, Jesus. God, I pray that you would stir inside every single one of us that calling. Stoke it, God. Fan it into flame. Help us to have a boldness that allows us to throw ourselves into it entirely, not just tiptoeing around it, but believing completely for it. It's what you made us for. As we're in prayer and your eyes are closed, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. Because the Holy Spirit is so amazing. You know, I can be preaching about this and he can be speaking in 50 to 70 different ways, 150 different ways in this room. But all of them come down to this one moment where you just say yes. And I want to give you that chance, because if God's tugging at your heart about something, maybe it scares you, or you don't know what it looks like, or where it'll take you, or whatever. I mean, we've got our list. But you're willing to say yes. God, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll say yes. Can I ask you to stand to your feet and just say, yes, God, send me. I'll do it. I'll accept this call that you put on my life, this grace that you've given me. I'll go where you send me. I'll love like you do. I want to be your voice, or I want to hear your voice, or I want to teach your people. I want to love your, whatever it is. I just want to encourage you to say yes. God has a gift for you and a grace for you. And I want to pray over you in this moment, because it is scary, but it's the beginning of the most rewarding journey you will ever take. And so God, I pray right now in Jesus' name for every single person in this room who is responding with their yes. For those who are online, Lord, responding with their yes and saying, God, if there's any way you can use my life, then take it. Use it for your glory. God, I pray that you'd begin to activate gifts in your people, Lord. Maybe gifts that have gone dormant. Thoughts and dreams that have just gone to the wayside in the busyness of life, that you would begin to restore and bring back, God. Because those dreams weren't just for then. They're for now. They're for the future. They're for your church. You put them in their hearts, God. Waken those up. Get them awake, God. Stir us once again. Don't let us become the dry bones, but those who are alive and filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that in this room, among those who are standing and saying, yes, God, use me, Lord, that you would speak to them with clarity. What is this call? What does it look like? How can they respond? Lord, give them the ability to step into your plan for their lives. Even if it scares them, knowing that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would fear no evil, because God is with me and his rod protects and comforts me. You have given us all that we need, God. You're a good shepherd and we love you. Let these ministries come alive in your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Matt, would you close?
Wow, I just love that. You can go ahead and take a seat. Praise God. I just love that concept that God has given us each individual specific gifts that are unique to every single one of us, but also the challenge that we have now the responsibility to utilize the gifts that God has given to us. And I heard it once said about God's plan for our lives. We can't do it without God, but God can't do it without us. We need God in order to fulfill the plans that he has for us, but we need to also step out in obedience to how he's gifted us in our calling in life. And so that's my challenge for you this week. What is one way that you can step into and utilize the gifts that God has given to you? That's my challenge for you today. Well, I'm just excited. I'm just so glad that we're here. A couple different things to be aware of. I want you to grab on the way out. We have a summer calendar. It's just a lot of different fun stuff that's coming up that we're doing as a church together. I know you're busy this summer, but I know it's great. It's a lot of fun stuff to do. I just wanted to say, if you are a guest with us today, it's your first time, we would love the opportunity to get to meet you. Stop by our welcome banner out the double doors, right to the left. We would love to meet you there. Well, go at this time. We will have our prayer team up at the front. If you have anything you would like to pray for about, be blessed. Greet somebody on the way out, and let's function and use the gifts and the callings that God has given to each one of us.